My Peace, a Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
It will look like suffering, like death, like the worst thing that could ever happen. But Jesus assures them, it is my peace, and I give it to you.
And for any size donation during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the first Pentecost. You can make a special Easter gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the 50 days of Easter.
James Corral with stanza 4 of the Pentecost hymn, O Day Full of Grace. And that's how the church celebrates it, but is it a day of pagan origins? Is it in fact something from ancient Greek or Roman paganism, a first fruits harvest festival, a pre-harvest festival? Or is it something of genuine Christian origins? The Pentecost, not only the Pentecost day that the church prepares to celebrate this Sunday, but the entire season of Pentecost. Does it have pagan origins? Joining us to answer that question, among others, Pastor Joseph Abrahamson. He's pastor of four congregations in northwestern Minnesota called Clearwater Lutheran Parish. He's author of an article for Steadfast Lutherans titled Redeeming Holy Days from Pagan Lies, Pentecost. Pastor Abrahamson, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd.
With only about a minute and a half before we take our first break here, is there something behind all of these allegations of pagan origins for Christian holidays? If so, what is it?
Well, probably the main historic influence has been the Protestant Reformation in England itself, and the reaction of both the Puritans and the Presbyterians against the Church of the Catholic Church during those years in the 15 and 1600s. And so a lot of anti-liturgical works were done. The Presbyterians in Scotland totally rejected Christmas and such. And building off of that, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the non-Christian folklorists started to conjecture about origins based mainly on their imagination at that time.
So are you saying that the allegation of pagan origins has its origin among anti-liturgical Christians in the English Reformation?
Yes. Yeah, that's the main source.
Pastor Joseph Abrahamson is our guest. When we come back, we're going to look at the origins, the real origins, of the church's celebration of the day of Pentecost and of the season of Pentecost. It's Tuesday, May the 14th. I invite your questions and your comments. We are coming to you live, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Is baptism a mere symbol of rebirth? Is it a prize for attaining a certain amount of faith? The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, is Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. It's written by regular guest Pastor Charles Lehman. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism, by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
By grace I'm saved. Grace, God's favor because of what Christ has done for you. This is precisely the gift that you will receive at Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois. God's grace delivered by the means appointed by our Lord Himself, His word proclaimed and His sacraments rightly administered. Come and receive. Grace, it's not just what we believe, it's who we are. Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Tuesday afternoon, May the 14th. We're answering the question, is Pentecost the day and the season that the church begins this coming Sunday? Is it a pagan holiday? Does it have pagan origins? Pastor Joseph Abrahamson is our guest. Joseph, you say that Pentecost was the first of the three main Christian holy days that was lost to the world. What do you mean by that?
Well, throughout the history of the church, Pentecost had been one of the really high days with a lot of celebration throughout the ancient world. And then when the Reformation came, especially the English Reformation, the celebration of Pentecost itself began to diminish greatly, and there were fewer and fewer records of any celebrations at Pentecost per se. Now, they did have a walking of the parish borders in England to celebrate Rogation Days and Rogate, as far as Whitsun and that, it became, in the Church of England, it became a confirmation day and such. But in the United States, Pentecost itself diminished more and more in Protestant Christianity.
What are some of the claims made? And you say that the kind of the folklorists, so to speak, picking up on the cue from the Puritans and other anti-liturgical English Reformation types, basically started making stuff up with regard to the pagan origins of Christian holidays, including Pentecost. What do we find them saying? What are their claims?
Well, you have people like Margaret Murray and Sir James Fraser that did some of the early works in folklore, and their purpose was not so much as to collect folklore to try to explain how that folklore took place in history, but to try to explain how the ceremonies that they saw today evolved from pagan origins. So that the purpose itself was an assumption that there were pagan origins from that. And they didn't really do a great job as far as just gathering the data and correlating the data. They mainly tried to fit the pieces that they had into their plan that they thought already existed.
So where they found, is it enough explanation to say that where they found coincidence in season or in time of the year between current Christian celebrations and what they alleged to be ancient pagan celebrations, they just simply concluded one comes from the other?
They did. Now, there's also, if you look back into some of the early church fathers, you'll find Tertullian and Augustine complaining about some of the pagan celebrations that were taking place. You only have 365 days out of the year to have a celebration. Some of those celebrations went on for a week or so. So there's going to be some overlap just in the coincidence of days. But in looking at the celebrations that were taking place, the Christian dates weren't chosen because those pagan celebrations happened on those days. And the vast majority of the ones that are claimed by the folklorists didn't even occur on the same dates.
With respect to Pentecost in particular, what was the essential problem with the folklorist's argument?
Well, there's a holiday called Floralia in ancient Rome, and there's an author from named Joseph McCabe who had been a Christian and rejected Christianity, and he wrote a biography of St. Augustine called St. Augustine in His Age. And his purpose in there was to try to correct all of the different biographies that had already been written of St. Augustine and try to reintroduce Pelagianism into the theology of St. Augustine and his psychological development. And in that book, you have one of the first claims that that Pentecost itself is derived from the ancient Roman holiday. But the basic problem is that Pentecost was instituted some 1,150 years before this Roman holiday was ever invented.
So take us there to the actual biblical historic origins of the Christian celebration of Pentecost.
Yeah, well, we can go right back to the original Passover and the people being brought out of Egypt. 50 days later, they're at Mount Sinai, and God gathers there the people together in cloud and thunder, and he reveals the law to the whole people. They cry out that they don't want to hear God speak to them like this anymore. They're going to die. God gives them the promise of the prophet that would come, the Messiah, and he institutes a celebration of first fruits on that 50th day after the Passover. So he brings his first fruits out of Egypt, commands them to celebrate this gift of the first fruits from their harvest, and it's to be a perpetual celebration throughout the ages.
So already in the Old Testament, one of the appointed feasts of the Old Testament people of God is this 50th day.
Yes, yeah. It's 7 weeks that it should be, after 7 weeks, 7 weeks after the Passover is when it should be celebrated, the 50th day. And it happens to coincide with coming to Mount Sinai. And you have there, you know, on the actual fulfillment of that promise in the Pentecost with the apostles, there you have the fulfillment of that first covenant and the fulfillment of the promise that was given before the covenant in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the apostles.
So the Christian, the second chapter of Acts, celebration of Pentecost, begins as an observation of the Old Testament observation, but by the end of the day, they're celebrating something greater than that. What is it?
Yes, the completion of the promise, the fulfillment of that law itself, and Peter in his sermon quotes from Joel chapter 2, and you read the whole chapter of Joel there in context. You see at the beginning of the chapter, it's the same imagery that you have at Mount Sinai. And then the fulfillment and the promise that's given through Joel is that in that day when the Messiah would come, the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all people, that they would be able to approach his throne openly. So there's no more having to go through the tabernacle or the priest or the Holy of Holies, that the Christian church is the body of Christ, that we have full and free access to the throne of God.
Isn't there also the mountain of historical evidence that Christians from that point on are gathering on the first day of the week?
Yes, right there at the end of the chapter, in chapter 2.
And that every Sunday, then, by our reckoning, is in fact a remembrance of the Pentecost, the first Sunday where these things take place.
Yes, there's that. And also in that, you see the basic form of the liturgy, too, in the closing verses of Acts chapter 2, where they gathered together to share in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread, and that this celebration is also the resurrection because it is the first day of the week, as well as the fulfillment on Pentecost itself.
So that hymn that we began with, O Day Full of Grace, that's not just about Pentecost, it's about the resurrection. It is about all the other things. In fact, the day of the first day of creation. That gets it right. The folklorists get it wrong. What do they do with the biblical data? What do they do with the fact that you can trace it back to 1400 B.C.?
They ignore it. They totally ignore it. And when you look at it, it's kind of comical in the way that they handle it. I don't know if the listeners have heard of Will and Ariel Durant, but they did this great big history series in the middle of the 1900s. And in their fourth volume, it was called The Age of Faith, they describe in almost exactly the same words as McCabe did the origins of Christian holidays, and this is by the folklorists. But they credit James Frazier with this, with these words. So you have people quoting each other without actually looking at the sources, both from the folklore sources and especially the biblical sources. And then nowadays, when you have people quoting McCabe or Frazier or any of these other writings like Durant, when they cite St. Augustine's works, instead of saying volume 2, which it is written in Roman numerals, they tend to write volume 11 as if they don't even know how many volumes are in that particular work of Augustine.
So this is not just sloppy history. This is intentionally sloppy history.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that many of these who are, you know, modern pagans or the Wiccans or the anti-liturgical people trust the sources that they're reading. They firmly believe that these come from pagan sources, but in their trust, they don't bother to look it up. They don't bother to check on the sources.
Pastor Joseph Abrahamson is pastor of four congregations in northwestern Minnesota called Clearwater Lutheran Parish. He's author of an article for Steadfast Lutherans titled Redeeming Holy Days from Pagan Lies. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Joseph, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I know that you enjoy the wide variety of guests, the expertise that our guests bring to the many subjects we deal with here on Issues, Etc. We have a great opportunity for all of our listeners coming up in mid-June. It's our very first Issues, Etc. conference. We're calling it the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. It's June the 14th and the 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. Now, you can get a bulletin insert, and we encourage you to do this, to help advertise to your congregation the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. Issuesetc.org, click support. You'll find the bulletin insert there in either color or black and white. Also a bulletin blurb that you can download as well. Help us advertise the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. Issuesetc.org, click support for the Making the Case bulletin insert. Keep it in your church's bulletin all through the month of May. And you can register online for the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. It's very easy to do, issuesetc.org. Click the logo for the conference, and you can register and pay online. Or if you're having trouble, you can call Craig and ask him to help you register for the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 14th and the 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. Call 618-223-8385. Ask for Craig. 618-223-8385 and ask for Craig. He'll help you register for the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. Please don't forget, this is a good time right here early in the week to go and download that bulletin insert for the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. Issuesetc.org. Click support. Hand it to your pastor, to your church secretary. Make sure that it gets in your church bulletin all through the month of May. You'll be helping us advertise this conference coming up June the 14th and the 15th here in Collinsville, Illinois. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll have Pastor David Peterson respond to reasons for not attending the divine service. Also tomorrow, we'll continue our series on baptism with Pastor Charles Lehman. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues, Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues, Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Rod Rosenblatt, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, Al Schmidt, Suzanne Venker, and Todd Wilkin? You're invited to the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.